This is Pastor Stolz, and welcome to our Sunday worship. I would like to give you the scripture readings, and then I'll give them again when I read the lessons, give you opportunity to look them up beforehand. The Old Testament is Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 32. The epistle, 1 Peter 4, 7 to 11. And the gospel, John 14, 23 to 31, and the closing hymn, 229. And we begin, following the order on page 5 in the Lutheran hymnal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. To them that believe on his name he gives power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, as now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks unto thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. And the Lord be with you. And let us pray. O God, who did teach the hearts of thy faithful people by sending to them the light of thy Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort. We pray this through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost are one God, world without end. Amen. Readings. But before that, let's confess our faith according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. A reading from Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 32. And it came to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my Spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great day and the terrible day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So far. The Epistle, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things be fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This morning's Gospel, John chapter 14, verses 23 to 31. And Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass that, when it does come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, and let us go hence. So far. My dear friends in Christ, St. Paul wrote these words, "Be not children tossed to and fro and be carried about by every wind of doctrine." Ephesians 4, verse 14. The doctrinal indifference and religious unionism are two prominent traits of the Christian church of our day. Pure doctrine is viewed by many as a matter of small importance, while error in doctrine is seen as innocent trifle. We are told that the Christian who differs with us in doctrines merely sees truth from a different point of view, and that we should not deny him or her fellowship because he or she does not agree with us regarding the teachings of Holy Scripture. This teaching threatens to deluge and dilute the Christian church. Pastors of different denominations form ministerial associations, exchange pulpits, officiate at church functions, and unite in joyous religious endeavors. Such practice is praised as proof of true Christian love. Those Christians, however, who insist on pure doctrine and who warn against error are unpopular. They're not loving. Instead of being praised for their strong position or their pure scripture, they're told, judge not, condemn not. But Jesus Christ himself tells us, scripture cannot be broken. And if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. To begin with, the source of all true doctrine is the inspired word of God. The Christian religion is not a man-made religion. Although natural man knows of the existence of God by the visible world which God created, and man's conscience tells him that he is accountable to this God, this natural knowledge of God does not reveal God's will or the way of salvation. The Spirit of God spoke through the prophets of the Old Testament and through the apostles of the New Testament. If we as a church no longer witness to our doctrines and confessions, as we shall, as a church, be of no use and shall no longer be the salt of the earth. We must faithfully guard our doctrine. For although God is the giver of truth, man has the dreadful power to lose it. Whenever a Christian ceases to watch and to pray, when he or she begins to despise preaching and the word, becomes indifferent, when he or she does the will of the flesh and follows the world, then he or she will fall from God's grace and eventually lose the truth entirely. What is true for the individual is also true for church bodies. Today we observe the festival of Pentecost, The festival is rightly called the birthday of the Christian Church. 50 days after his resurrection and 10 days after his ascension, Jesus sent his Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, to establish his kingdom on earth. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, the disciples proclaimed to the multitudes in Jerusalem the wonderful things of God. In all languages of the world, they preached Jesus Christ, the crucified, risen, and ascended Lord, as the only Savior. Inspired by the Spirit, Peter delivered his famous Pentecost sermon. He called the attention of his hearers to Jesus Christ, whom God had sent to seek and to save, but whom they rejected, they crucified, and whom God had raised up from the dead and exalted above all things in heaven and upon earth. The result of this Pentecost sermon was astounding. 3,000 people. 3,000 people heeded the message of the apostle. They repented, and they believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then these Christians banded together and formed the first congregation. That was the beginning of organized Christianity. This Christian congregation established in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost is the mother of all Christian congregations. And as a faithful daughter follows the example of her mother and learns of her, so we learn of the Mother Church in Jerusalem the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. The Pentecostal congregation in Jerusalem was first of all truly Christian. She was truly Christian because she was founded upon Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. She had the Word of God in all truth and purity. And we are told, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. The members of the congregation believed the Word of God as it was proclaimed to them by the apostles under divine direction. They accepted the Scriptures as preaching of the apostles as divine truth. They believed in the God of the Bible, the triune God of the Bible, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They accepted the Bible account of creation, redemption, sanctification. In short, they believed the words as it was recorded in Scripture and proclaimed by the apostles. They lived in conformity with the Word of God. There are many congregations today, but they are not all true Christian congregations. They're not like the Mother Church in Jerusalem. They have not the Word of God in truth and purity. The Bible is not the sole foundation of their faith. Jesus is not the heart and the soul of their religion. They preach and teach what appears to be good and profitable for them, whether the Word of God demands it or not. They accept and believe only such doctrines that are compatible with human reason, whether the Word of God teaches them or not. They're not true Christian congregations. The congregation in Jerusalem was a true Christian congregation because she had the Word of God, accepted all the doctrines of the Bible, was governed only by the Word. The question we ask this morning is our congregations true Christian congregations? Well, thank God we can say yes, but only by the grace of God. Like the Mother Church in Jerusalem, our congregations have the Word of God and accepts it as divine truth. The inspired Scriptures are the only norm in doctrine and practice. The sacraments are administered among us according to Christ's institution. And let's not forget our elders and other church officers who, along with the pastor, are determined to remain confessional Lutherans, along with the members sitting in the pews. The congregation in Jerusalem was also a strong congregation. And when we speak of a strong congregation, we're not talking about large in numbers, but internally strong. Members who stand firm upon the foundation of God's holy word. Members strong in the faith, strong in their loyalty to Christ, like our congregations. Now, there are countless congregations in the world today, but they're not strong. Where are the means of grace? Where is the word, the saving truth? So let's not be misled by numbers. The real strength of a congregation lies not in external things, but in loyalty and devotion to Christ and his saving gospel. And we are told, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The members were not satisfied to keep the gospel for themselves, but they were anxious that others should share with them the spiritual blessings which they enjoyed. They told people of the love of God in Christ Jesus. They invited others to join their fellowship. We too must be concerned about the salvation of others. Let us invoke God's Holy Spirit upon our congregations and be truly mission-minded congregations. May God grant this to us. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by practice and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. Closing hymn 229.